A reading from the first book of Samuel. In those days, Saul went down to the desert of Ziph with 3,000 picked men of Israel to search for David in the desert of Ziph. So David and Abishai went among Saul's soldiers by night and found Saul lying asleep within the barricade, with his spear thrust into the ground at his head, and Abner and his men sleeping around him. Abishai whispered to David, "God has delivered your enemy into your grasp this day. Let me nail him to the ground with one thrust of the spear. I will not need a second thrust." But David said to Abishai, "Do not harm him, for who can lay hands on the Lord's anointed and remain unpunished?" So David took the spear and the water jug from their place at Saul's head, and they got away without anyone seeing or knowing or awakening. All remained asleep because the Lord had put them into a deep slumber. Going across to an opposite slope, David stood on a remote hilltop at a great distance from Abner, son of Ner, and the troops. He said, "Here is the king's spear. Let an attendant come over to get it. The Lord will reward each man for his justice and faithfulness. Today, though the Lord delivered you into my grasp, I would not harm the Lord's anointed." Verbum Domini.
Compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and rich in mercy. He does not treat us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our faults. As far as the east is from the west, so far from us does he remove our transgressions. As a father has compassion on his children, the Lord's compassion is on those who fear
him. A reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being, the last Adam, a life-giving spirit. But the spiritual was not first, rather the natural, and then the spiritual. The first man was from the earth, earthly. The second man, from heaven. As was the earthly one, so also are the earthly. And as is the heavenly one, so also are the heavenly. Just as we have borne the image of the earthly one, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly one.
Verbum Domini. Dominus vobiscum.
Et cum spiritu tuo.
Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Lucam.
Gloria tibi, Domine.
Jesus said to his disciples, to you who hear, I say, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. To the person who strikes you on one cheek, offer the other one as well. And from the person who takes your cloak, do not withhold even your tunic. Give to everyone who asks of you, and from the one who takes what is yours, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. For if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do the same. If you lend money to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners and get back the same amount. But rather, love your enemies and do good to them, and lend expecting nothing back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High. For he himself is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Stop judging, and you will not be judged. Stop condemning, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and the gifts will be given to you, a good measure packed together, shaken down and overflowing, will be poured into your lap. For the measure with which you measure will in turn be measured out to you.
Verbum Domini.
We continue to unite our Holy Father, Pope Francis, to the merciful Lord and ask the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary in this time of sickness. He's still in the hospital. He's still in a moment of really critical health, they say. So we pray especially for him. This morning, the Vatican Press Office issued a statement. The condition of the Holy Father continues to be critical. Therefore, as explained yesterday, the Pope is not out of danger. This morning, Pope Francis experienced an asthma-like respiratory crisis of prolonged intensity, which required the administration of high-flow oxygen. And today's blood tests also revealed, they say, thrombocytopenia, also associated with anemia, which required the administration of blood transfusions, basically low platelet count. The Holy Father remains alert and spent the day in an armchair, though he is more fatigued than yesterday. At the moment, the prognosis remains guarded. And on a more humorous note, his doctor came in and said, "Good morning, Holy Father." And he said back to him, "Good morning, Holy Son." So to see he has a good sense of humor, calling him Holy Son. What makes Christianity different than any other religion? Any other religion on the face of the earth? What makes Christianity different? Grace. Friendship with God. God's indwelling in us, the Holy Trinity. God's indwelling presence. We are temples of God. God gives each of us a share in his grace, his own divine nature. In baptism, we are made partakers of his divine nature, as said in 2 Peter chapter 1. And another question might be, do we act like we share in God's nature? All of us. Do I act like I share in God's nature? That God is dwelling within me. Do I carry myself like that? In my vocation as a Christian, in my vocation as a priest, your vocation as a baptized Christian, whatever your vocation, your calling might be in life, do you walk in the midst of the world and really live as if God's dwelling, his temple, is within you? It's a tough question. And we all fall short of God's glory. None of us has it all figured out. It's a lifelong process of living as God's son, it's living as God's daughter, as God's child. St. Paul's letter to the Colossians exhorts God's chosen ones, holy and beloved. In other words, those who have been made partakers of his divine nature, to put on heartfelt compassion, St. Paul says, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If one has a grievance against you or another, as the Lord has forgiven you, so must you also forgive. Again, living as God's temple on this earth, offering forgiveness. Forgiveness is an essential ingredient to Christianity. We might say that it what makes the dough rise in Christianity. Without yeast, dough will not rise, and without forgiveness, we remain just a very lumpy, mushy dough. Forgiveness is what makes it rise. You might say that Christianity, that forgiveness is what makes our life increase and expand. In order to grow in holiness, the life of divine grace within us, we must forgive. And just as dough cannot rise without heat, we cannot forgive, truly forgive, without God's presence, without divine assistance. And this is where the Holy Spirit comes in. This is where we ask, right, even right now, even in the midst of this homily, come, Holy Spirit, come. Help me to enter into this living of the Christian life. Help me be able to forgive. And surely, whenever we mention the word forgiveness, there's always people that pop up in your head right now. From your whole life long. Come, Holy Spirit, help us to be able to even broach that topic, to enter into the topic of forgiving. Truly forgiving with God's heart, not with our weak heart, our broken hearts, but with the heart of God. The responsorial Psalm 103 speaks to us, the Lord is kind and merciful. Merciful and gracious is the Lord, slow to anger and abounding in kindness. Not according to our sins does he deal with us, nor does he requite us according to our crimes. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he put our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. We are called to mirror, in a way the Lord has forgiven us, to be living mirrors of Christ in the world today. In other words, we forgive because the Lord has forgiven us first. Even before we forgive, we need to recognize that the Lord is the one who does the forgiving first. He's the one, in other words, who gives the fuel to forgive. I think the most tangible icon of forgiveness is the cross itself. And many people, when they look upon the cross, that's the first word that they think about. Even a child, you ask a child what that is, what that expresses, oftentimes a child from their heart, it's God's love, God's forgiveness. That's how much God forgives. And notice the Lord's arms are wide open, not like this. Not protected, self-protected like we can be, even protecting ourselves, but his arms are held wide on the cross, and you could in a say, pinned to the cross. His arms are pinned to the cross, forever open to that embrace that he desires to give you and me. Without limits has he forgiven. Forgiveness, this side of heaven, is part of our transformation into Christ, the second Adam. Forgiveness is how we look most like the Son of God here on this earth. Like mirrors, mirroring back the image of the Son of God. In the gospel, Jesus commands, not suggests, commands forgiveness. To you who hear, I say, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. Bless those who curse you. Bless those who mistreat you. How often can we, in our prayer, sincerely actually ask God to bless people who have hurt us? God, please bless so-and-so. Please bless them. And not in our hearts want to curse them and wish that they received punishment as they dealt out to us. This is where Christianity hits the road. This is where the rubber hits the road. To bless those that are hurt and mistreated. The gospel overturns that human instinct flowing from the effects of original sin to retaliate. That instinct that we all have within us, let's face it, to retaliate. In other words, to hold a fist up. How dare you? Now, it doesn't mean that we just sit back and let people mistreat us. That's not what the gospel is saying, that we sit back and we let people just stamp all over our life and become doormats. That's not what the gospel is saying. We can legitimately tell people what they've done to us. We don't need to sit back and let people run over our hearts and our lives. But even doing that, even exercising doing that, requires grace. It requires patience and forbearance. And how should we forgive? How much should we forgive? The measure we forgive is a measure we receive. In other words, the way in which we forgive this side of heaven is a measure in which we receive forgiveness from God. We receive grace from God. It's necessary to forgive, to receive grace from God. Pope Francis often says, God never tires of forgiving. We are the ones who tire of asking forgiveness, of seeking forgiveness. God never tires. You might say that that's his best business, is forgiving. But we're the ones who tire even asking forgiveness, first from God and then from others. From people that we have hurt. Forgiveness is a divine characteristic. God the Son assumed a human nature in Jesus Christ to teach us what it is like to forgive, what it looks like to forgive. From the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. One of the last words from the cross, Jesus says, Father, forgive them. while his hands are pinned to the cross. His legs are pinned to the cross. There's nowhere he can run. He's pinned to the cross, and he tells us, he shows us, in other words, how to forgive his persecutors, those who would kill him. Again, we have only to gaze at a crucifix to see just how much we are loved by God and forgiven by God. And as God has forgiven us, so we are to also forgive one another. To ask from the cross, Lord, help me to forgive like that. Help me to forgive without cost. If we were given one day to live, imagine this is your last day before you would see God face to face. Eternity is close. Who are the people we would need to forgive before we could see the Lord, stand in the sight of the Lord, in your life and in my life? Either we do it now or we do it later. We choose to do it now. We choose to forgive now. Ask the Holy Spirit, even in this Mass, for the grace to forgive, for the grace to let go of the debt. All of us, again, are probably thinking about multiple people who have hurt us. And I hope you're not thinking, Father, I forgive everyone who has ever forgiven me perfectly. I hold no judges, I hold no bitterness, I hold no anger, and I hold no resentment. But surely there are people in your life that you haven't forgiven perfectly. All of us. Throughout our entire life. Again, forgiveness is a divine gift. It's not something that we can muster up on our own strength or our own power. It is the grace of God that enables us to be able to forgive as Jesus himself has forgiven. I once read a quote on forgiveness, and the author said, forgiveness happens inside of the person doing the forgiving. It heals our pain and our resentment before it does anything for the person we are to forgive. They might never know about it. Happens on the inside. And this says a lot. First, forgiveness heals us from the inside out. Lack of forgiveness can be like a cancer that slowly eats us away. Lack of forgiveness can affect us in many ways. And there are even studies that show that a lack of forgiveness can affect physical, emotional, and psychological health. If that isn't incentive to forgive, I don't know what is. To know that forgiveness can help to help us to be more sane people. In other words, most of all, forgiveness is necessary for spiritual health, for holiness. Most of the time, the person we need to forgive right now might not even know that they hurt us. And that's often the case when it comes to forgiveness. A powerful image of forgiveness that most of us might remember is when John Paul II met with his would-be assassin. And the picture of Pope St. John Paul II leaning in a chair, listening to this man who tried to murder him, nearly killed him, speaks volumes without words. The picture almost looks like the Pope is hearing this young man's confession. And in this gesture, the Pope showed us what Christian forgiveness looks like, that we must forgive our enemies. Isn't this true of Pope St. John Paul II? He showed us how to live. He showed us what it meant to be a Christian. He showed us tangibly, this is what it means to forgive. He also showed us how to die in his old age, how to grow old. St. John Paul II would later write, certainly forgiveness does not come spontaneously or naturally to people. Forgiving from the heart can sometimes be heroic. Thanks to the healing power of love, even the most wounded heart can experience a liberating encounter with forgiveness. And further, Pope St. John Paul II wrote in 2002, a message on the World Day of Peace. Forgiveness is above all a personal choice, a decision of the heart to go against a natural instinct to pay back evil for evil. The measure of such a decision is the love of God who draws us to himself in spite of sin. It has its perfect exemplar in the forgiveness of Christ, who prayed from the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Forgiveness is not weakness, he says too. It's not weakness, not a sign of weakness. It's not a sign of giving up. Pray for that grace today. Pray for that grace to forgive as Christ has forgiven. Forgiveness is one of the most challenging parts of being Christian, this side of heaven. And when it's practiced often and embraced, it's the clearest sign of God's presence in the world. And it's the clearest sign of Christ's presence, of the indwelling presence of Christ dwelling within our hearts as we mirror Christ's forgiveness to others.